Everybody, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Hope you are having a great day, great night, wherever you're watching or listening in from. Today, with the markets trading somewhat tight, with the exception of a few altcoins making some pretty nice moves for once in a blue moon. Want to touch on some of the moves that have been made. Also, a new metric from the folks over at OnChain FX, the break-even multiple, which may or may not rub salt in a very open wound for you and your portfolio, but funny nonetheless, and we'll definitely talk about that. Also want to talk about some of the bad news and whether or not there's any more bad news to come. Have we kind of gone through almost all of the bad news that we might be able to run through? Definitely talk through that and more on today's show. A quick note too, we'll be looking to do a crypto happy hour tomorrow. If you're watching this on Friday, August 24th, on August 25th, Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern time, we'll be doing a crypto happy hour. Start off with a little bit of an afternoon beer and enjoy crypto happy hour for the first time in a little bit of while. And also, should have a bunch of interviews coming out next week as well. I'll have a number of interviews scheduled with a number of different people in the space, both like crypto investors, people running projects, things like that. So a bunch of good content coming for you next week as well. Before we get into today's episode, want to talk to you guys quickly about my friends over at LinkedIn Talent Solutions. Especially for your crypto projects and entrepreneurs out there, you know that the right hire can make a huge impact on your business. And that's why it is incredibly important to find the right person. But most people think that the best way to find people is just posting on the job boards. But the likelihood and the truth of the matter is the best candidates aren't going on the job boards to look for new opportunities. LinkedIn will actually take the time to match you to the right people. And the interesting thing and the biggest advantage to LinkedIn is that while 70% of the US workforce is on LinkedIn, most LinkedIn members haven't actually visited the top job boards recently, but 9 out of 10 of those members are actually open to new opportunities. And the only way to reach them is actually through LinkedIn. And that is why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And businesses rate LinkedIn at 40% higher than the traditional job boards at delivering those high quality candidates that you need to grow your business. So hurry over to linkedin.com/Bobby and get $50 off your first job post, especially if you have crypto projects out there trying to grow your business. That is linkedin.com/B-O-B-B-Y to get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply. Let's get into the episode. As far as things go, Bitcoin and a lot of the other larger cap cryptocurrencies are trading in, I would say, a fairly tight window. The market is overall doing pretty damn well today, but Bitcoin has specifically been trading in somewhat of a nice tight window. And for the most part, a lot of people have been talking about or trying to suggest at the very least that we are, that the bottom is in, that 6,000, 6,200, that this is the bottom, that everything is good to go. And now we are gearing up for another move. And part of me thinks that it's an interesting point, just because of at least short-term wise, the resilience we've seen with the Bitcoin ETF getting, basically all the Bitcoin ETFs getting shot down and then getting kind of relooked at. But we all know the Bitcoin ETFs, at least anybody with a brain knows the Bitcoin ETFs really are not going to go anywhere for the better part of 2018 and most likely 2019, February 2019 at the very earliest. But we'll push the Bitcoin ETF stuff behind. But the way in which the market reacted, I thought that there might be a pretty large dump, at least following the Bitcoin ETF getting disapproved, getting denied. There wasn't really that much of a dump. The market didn't react to it. So leads me to believe that at the very least, it was kind of priced into it. But also, there was a lot of, I don't want to say FUD because it's the most overused word on the planet, but there was a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt in regards to China recently as well. Prior to the Bitcoin ETF stuff that's been happening or kind of in conjunction with, one of the things that has traditionally brought a lot of fear to the market outside of the Bitcoin ETFs getting denied, which has happened for an eternity at this point in time for a number of years now, but China banning cryptocurrency, China banning Bitcoin. And in the latest step, China decided to not only ban or try to block a number of the offshore exchanges that are operated outside of the Chinese mainland, they also are forbidding hotels, shopping malls, offices, basically anybody from having cryptocurrency meetups or hosting events in regards to cryptocurrency, which is kind of the most ridiculous thing and the funniest thing on the planet. But and they've also been working on a ban for crypto media outlets. So basically, China is doing their absolute best to not allow crypto outlets. Crypto outlets, crypto meetups, any access to cryptocurrency whatsoever. China is doing their absolute best to not let that kind of continue to spread cryptocurrency in the country. And the market didn't really react to the news at all. I think part of that has to do with the fact that the crypto market is really just numb to the fact that, like, hey, China doesn't want anything to do with cryptocurrency, and or they're trying to ban all outside influence and do their own thing, whatever it might be, whatever conspiracy theories you might have. But basically, it was bad news for China, and typically would be seen as bad news for the market. The market didn't necessarily react, which is, again, kind of leading some people to say, hey, you know, the bottom is in, you know, we're in a good position. The market hasn't reacted negatively to what some people would consider to be negative news. The counterpoint, at least in my opinion, to that is, yes, it's great to see that the market did not react negatively to China. The market did not react negatively to the Bitcoin ETF. We've held pricing. If not, we've increased pricing a few percentage points. I still don't think that there is any big impetus for retail to get back into the market. I still think that for the market really to recover substantially, we're going to need to see either the much lauded institutional money to come into the space or a fresh round of retail speculation. And at least in my mind, a lot of the retail speculators that have come in or that came into the market in November, December, January, many of those folks have packed up their bags, sold their bags, went home and said, hey, screw this. I got my face ripped off by crypto. I'm not coming back. And they probably won't come back until their friends talk them into doing it again the next time the market pumps. So I don't think that maybe there is enough fresh money to really reignite a crazy bull market, but if we could see some level of stability, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Would not be the worst thing in the world, at least in my opinion. So that's what I'm keeping an eye on right now too. I mean, I think that the ETF and China are two things that constantly hold overhead of the crypto markets as potential negative things. Outside of that, I mean, I think that the one really, really big thing that could have a huge negative impact on the market would be regulation in the U.S. or, you know, really bad news from regulators in the U.S. in regards to exchanges and ICOs, crypto assets, whatever it might be. I think that would be the one thing that could really negatively drop us to the much talked about $3,000 mark on Bitcoin that a lot of other people have talked about in the past. So that's something that I'm kind of thinking and looking at this point in time. But outside of that, going to on-chain FX, again, on-chain FX has always been, at least since they launched, one of my favorite sites out there. And they added this, what they call break-even multiple, which is essentially the multiple required to get back to all-time high for some of these or for these crypto assets that are listed on on-chain FX. And when you look at them, some of them aren't too bad, but some of them are terrible. So, you know, right now for you, if you bought the all-time high, for example, if you bought the all-time high Bitcoin, you bought Bitcoin at $20,089, Bitcoin needs to pull a 3x from here for you to break even if you bought the absolute top. If you bought the absolute top of Ripple at $1,432, you would need a 5.1x ROI from here if you bought now to get back to where you are to break even at this point in time. Now, 3x isn't that awful, I guess. I mean, you're down 67% from your all-time high. It sucks. But if we go to some of these crypto assets, Salt right now is 97% off its all-time high. Salt Lending is 97% off its all-time high. You would, if you bought the all-time high of Salt at $17.74, from where you are right now at 47 cents, Salt needs to pull a 37x to get back to all-time highs. Another one out there that, you know, I mean, there's a a ton of them that are like that. You have Salt, needs to pull 37X. Z Classic right now needs to pull close to a 32X to get back to all-time highs. Qtum needs to pull a 25X to get back to all-time highs. Dragon Chain needs to pull basically a 25X. Pretty funny statistic. I mean, a little bit misleading in some respects when you have to take into... You have to take into perspective the fact that you would have literally had to buy at all-time highs for this to mean really anything, but still gives you an idea of how far some of these crypto assets have fallen down from where they were previously, and it's pretty depressing stat in general. Now, one article, too, that I saw recently I thought was pretty interesting, and this is from Notation, which is a venture firm based out of Brooklyn. And they had talked about what they consider to be blockchain mining 2.0, or what they're terming as blockchain mining 2.0. Another crypto fund, coin fund, refers to this as generalized mining. But I think it's kind of an interesting discussion because it goes to show the ways in which not only individual investors might be able to make money, but some of the creativity behind things, as well as the different ways in crypto that you can make money potentially. Granted, you know, there's a very different profile between an individual maybe with not as much money at their disposal and a venture fund. Obviously, those are very different. There's a lot more capital behind those individuals. Maybe there's more expertise behind those individuals. But what is blockchain mining 2.0? I think this is kind of cool because outside of just the traditional proof of work mining, Bitcoin mining, Ethereum mining, things like that, whatever, Monero, any type of proof of work mining with your GPUs or ASICs or whatever it might be, there's a number of different kind of additional ways in which you can kind of mine now, whether that's proof of stake mining, Merkle tree mining, they mentioned validation mining, and there's a number of other kind of different individual ways in which some of these crypto assets and cryptocurrencies, blockchain solutions are allowing people to mine outside of proof of work or generate some level of return outside of simply proof of work. And I think it is really interesting, and it's going to be fun to keep an eye on this. And I also do think that there are a lot of weird, unique ways in which you can make money outside of just investing and trading in cryptocurrency that a lot of people kind of overlook and overthink. And it's worth exploring. And I think this mining 2.0 that they're mentioning that goes not only just into proof of work where, you know, you might be investing in ASIC infrastructure, GPUs, or whatever it might be, but not just mining this kind of the more traditional mining, but maybe it's proof of stake, proof of stake mining. And I say that in air quotes if you're listening on the podcast, or baking with Tezos or whatever it might be, where you are earning some level of ROI due to your staking or delegation or whatever it might be. And one really interesting thing that they brought up is Live Peer Network. And I've been looking into this and I'm looking into this with one of the guys I work with. Kind of cool to think about a little bit, but basically this is Live Peer. It's a streaming, it's basically a streaming service. It's supposed to be like a decentralized streaming service, peer-to-peer video. There was actually an event recently with Joe Lubin where they streamed it. CoinFund used it, but they streamed the event on this website, Live Peer. But there are some really interesting ways, instead of just mining, basically people can host transcoders and then pay in other individuals can pay those transcoders, or essentially stake with those transcoders or run their own transcoders and earn Live Peer tokens in that manner. And it's somebody tweeted out recently, as Arjun Balaji actually tweeted this out, but there's one of the top transcoders on Live Peer right now is a random dude, I believe in Asia, maybe China, wherever it might have been. I forget exactly where he was located, but he's running a transcoder and making a full-time living doing this. And it just goes to show some of the weird, like interesting opportunities with crypto. Like maybe you've never heard of Live Peer. I really hadn't looked into it too much, but there is a guy somewhere in the world that is running one of the top transcoders for this. And rather than mining, he's hosting a transcoder and people are staking Live Peer tokens with him and they're earning rewards together. And he is basically making a full-time living doing that. And that is a random niche that you probably haven't thought too much of. Now, one of the things too with this mining 2.0 that's kind of interesting is they bring up a couple of different like levels of expertise that one might need, whether it's, you know, having knowledge of the software requirements, whether it's the development, the actual in-depth code, having an ability to either pay for hardware or have the ability to set up hardware on something like AWS, understanding the security requirements. Like, you know, if you go through this whole process and you don't have proper security and OPSEC available, then all could be for naught if you get hacked, whatever it might be. Another big thing too is marketing requirements as well. Like in this whole mining 2.0 world, a lot of this comes to do and has to do with marketing. Like you might have a transcoder or, for example, EOS. I know a lot of people don't like EOS or AOS, whatever you want to call it. A lot of people don't like EOS out there, but I had a chance to have lunch with somebody who is going through the process of becoming a delegate in the EOS ecosystem. And there is an entire element there of getting votes, and you have to not only have something to bring to the ecosystem, whether that's technically speaking or whether it's infrastructure, technical development, whatever it might be. You have basically have to add something to the ecosystem, but you also have to be good enough at marketing to get enough votes to be one of the top 21 block producers on the network. So this person, this company is trying to be an EOS block producer. You get rewarded for doing that, but if you could be the most competent individual out there, if you're not marketing yourself appropriately, then you're not going to be able to do that. But there's all these weird, unique things that I think go overlooked by a lot of people because they think, okay, I just have to invest in this and then hope I get a return on my investment. There are other areas in the crypto landscape that you actually might be able to generate a pretty decent return on if you are able to do some research, get in early on some of these aspects, and just kind of keep abreast with the situation. And for example, too, I mean, this specific company, what do we have here? Notation. So they said they're actually making, in combination with this live peer, doing a transcoding node as well as the delegated proof of stake, they're earning about 2% daily in IRR, which is incredible to think about. That's a massive amount. I'm sure that number might compress as there are more transcoders and things like that as well, but just gives you an idea of kind of some of the opportunities out there. And I think it is really interesting to continue to look at this as we move forward. Now, from my just standpoint right now, I'm keeping a close eye on the Bitcoin chart. I think that I don't want to say we've hit bottom, but I feel like there's at least for right now, we're maybe at a short term bottom. I was pleased, overall pleased to see that we didn't dump from the ETF rejection. Like I said, I thought that was going to be the case. I thought we would be dumping from the ETF rejection, but we didn't. So happy to see that was not the case. But I'm definitely keeping a close eye on Bitcoin right now. Don't have at least in my personal opinion, outside of the lack of retail and institutional new money potentially coming to the space, feel pretty good about the short-term pricing of where we are right now. Seems like the crypto community in general is getting a little bit more bullish. Who knows? But we'll have to see how everything pans out here in the near future. Like I said, again, tomorrow on August 25th, Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern time, we'll be doing a crypto happy hour. So join me for that. We'll crack open a few beers, have a good time. Shoot the shit as always. Appreciate the time. If you enjoyed this video, hit that thumbs up button, hit the like button. Crypto Bobby signing out. Hope you have a good one. Peace.